Okay. Are you sitting comfortably? I am not going to read Commotion in the Ocean. Sorry if that disappoints you this morning. But it's just a bit easier. I'm going to copy my husband and keep all my notes and things inside. So, you should be able to follow and see the pictures as we go. I'm going to read to you The Lost Coin. Jesus travelled from town to town, and everywhere he walked, crowds would gather and follow him to listen as he talked. The crowds were full of people who loved Jesus very much. They ate with him and talked with him and were blessed by his words or touch. But not everyone followed the Lord was happy with what they heard. They muttered and complained behind his back, and Jesus heard every word. The teachers and Pharisees thought Jesus had made a mistake because he ate with those who sinned and collectors with taxes to take. But Jesus knew these Pharisees did not know why he came. So Jesus told this parable, his gospel, to explain. Suppose there was a woman who, our Saviour began to say, had saved 10 silver drachmas, that's coins, each one worth a day's pay. But then, one day, to her surprise, the woman had quite a shock. One of her coins had disappeared. Now, where could it have dropped? The woman's house was very dark, no windows in any wall. The floor was earthen, it was made of dirt, so the colour was rather dull. How could she find just one small coin on a floor made out of dirt? She lit her lamp, then took her broom and swept to begin her search. She swept the broom across the floor and listened for any sound. Then suddenly she heard the clink of her coin there on the ground. Oh, what joy the woman felt to have her coin again. To celebrate, the woman thought, I'll invite my neighbours and friends. Rejoice with me, the woman said to everyone she knew. The coin I lost has now been found. I'll share my joy with you. Now, you might think it's rather strange to party for a coin, but for this woman it was worth a treasure chest of joy. Then Jesus told the gathered crowd just what the parable meant. The angels of God will always rejoice whenever a sinner repents. And surely that party up in heaven is filled with joyful sounds since Jesus came to seek the lost, wherever we are found. Yes, we were the lost that Jesus found. He claimed us as our own and rejoices over each one of us before his Father's throne. Good story that, the lost coin. But a bit like I'm going to echo a little bit of what Bill said last week, this isn't just a little fairy tale to share. This is a story that's very powerful and very relevant for today. And, you know, Jesus understood how to relay important messages through these everyday stories, including everyday people with their possessions, their jobs, what they did. They totally understood what Jesus was on about. I don't know about you, but I've done this as a parent. My parents did this to me, and my grandparents did this to me. So they would tell you a story, and they say, once upon a time, there was a little girl. And you're like, yeah. She had a sister, and her favourite thing to wear in her hair was her big bobbles and ponytails. Now, one day when she went to school, she did this big picture of her time at the seaside at the weekend. You went, oh, it's me! They're talking about me! I'm in the story! And you know what? This is what Jesus does. He goes, hang on a minute. Suppose there was a shepherd. And all the shepherds go, yeah. Oh, no, hang on. Suppose there was a woman who lost her coin. And the women go, oh, I've lost stuff in my home before. Suppose there was a man. He had two sons. I'm a son. I'm interested. He brings you in. This is really interesting. This parable is one of three. There's lost coin, lost sheep, and the lost son. And if you look in your Bibles in Luke, they are all there together. It is one parable and three stories. And so Jesus is looking at all the people listening, and he is bringing them in. He's inviting them into the story. So my challenge this morning, whether we can take these stories, these amazing parables, and see if Jesus is speaking directly to us today. Today, we are just going to look at the first two parables. We're going to look at the lost sheep, and we're going to look at the lost coin. We're not going to look at the lost son today. I believe that's going to be a special treat for Father's Day. But it was important for me to say about that, because those three stories come together, and Jesus was including those he was speaking to. And it means, I think, if he's saying something several times, it's quite important. So I think it's really important to emphasize that. So we're going to start by looking at the lost sheep, then we're going to look at the lost coin, and then we're going to look at what it means to be lost and found. So if you're hoping when the ending is coming, that's kind of what I'm going to do, okay? So we'll start by just having a look at the lost sheep, which Kath read to us earlier. If you want to bring up the slide of my dear sheep. So this is kind of a view that I've got from my house of a paddock. And just before Easter, we had not many, but a few sheep were brought in. And so that gives you a little look. I had maybe a new understanding now. They're quite monkeys. I know you probably can't see it from there. Or maybe you can, for those of you who might have a tablet. I hear this is working well this morning. I've heard whispers. Oh, it was working well down here. Okay, right, okay. But you can see they actually look quite mischievous. And I've just got this, maybe for the first time, a little understanding of sheep behaviour, shall we say. They really do go a-wandering. They really do escape and seem to get lost. So after a weekly episode of escapees, the farmer and Reuben were looking at the perimeter, couldn't see really where they were getting out, and thought, okay, we really need to move them now. So they're actually at the back of our house now, so they're not in the paddock anymore. And, you know, I don't know how they got out, but I was cooking and I'm thinking, there's sheep just coming across the kitchen window. How are they? What? They were in a paddock? No, they shouldn't be doing that. What are they doing? You know, ringing the farmer. Ah! You know, and actually, they don't go back. When a sheep goes, it doesn't think, oh, look where I left. I need to go back to be with my friends. They don't do that. They just keep going. They just have no answer. So, okay, I don't really know how to look after sheep well, but I've got this little understanding now of what it means. So it gives me an appreciation when Jesus is saying, what if someone has 100 sheep? And then he goes to explain about the sheep wandering. They'll be not just hooked in, he's talking about me as a shepherd, that he understands my way of life. And they would have really got into the story in that way. And to me, I feel that Jesus is expressing in this parable something of the character of God. You know, that he would leave 99 sheep and go and find the one that was lost. You see, in my logic, I would think, hang on, 99 sheep I know are safe and well here with me looking after them. Do we not have to have a casualty here? Do we not need to just say, well, maybe I'll have to sacrifice the one for the 99? No. That's not where God is coming from in this. I'm presuming we assume 99 is safe. God knows what he's doing. Jesus is expressing God's heart to go after that one, to go after that lost sheep. That one heart for him is precious. Isn't that why, maybe, if we think about creation, why we were created? That God creates mankind to have a relationship with him, that he is interested in us, and he will search for us all he can until we are found. once found. Now, not being rude to the sheep that I got to know, I won't go into a lot of any small people here now. I think it was a hospice for sheep. We had regular deaths, not saying too much. But they were large, they were fat, and they were furry. And I'm not being funny, if a shepherd once found those sheep and thought, right, on my shoulders you go. Hey, they would have to have good shoulders, I'll tell you that. But this is what Jesus is saying. Found the sheep, didn't just go, oh, hello, I found you, come on, let's go. Puts on his shoulders to carry us back. What about us? If that is us, I'm not being funny, sheep are a bit silly. People call them stupid. They find them in ditches. How many times was Dave going to be playing bass here and say, I'm really sorry, got sheep in the ditch, can't come. You know, always the sheep could, and what I saw is brambles are an issue. And I really felt for the sheep one day. She was so caught in brambles, they couldn't move until it was released. The brambles were so tight on the wall. And so anything could have happened to this lost sheep. And Jesus knows that. Anything could be happened to us once we get lost. We could fall in a ditch, get hurt. So actually we might need carrying for a bit. Some of us do have damage in our lives and need God to take care of our wounds and carry us. Then what happens? A shepherd comes and calls his friends and his neighbours and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. So we know, hopefully, rejoice means have great joy or delight in something. And to me, I don't know how you read that, but I think it means they had a jolly good party. They had a celebration. Found what was lost. So Jesus is saying that he wants to use this as illustration because there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who is rescued than 99 people who are already saved by God. He comes after the one. God finds us. Don't you find that amazing? That God is actively seeking us, that he is searching us out. I don't know whether you've ever thought of it like that. But when he finds us, he requires us to acknowledge who he is and to repent. So repentance might sound quite an old word, whether you hear that a lot in conversation and every day, I don't know. But you will find that the Bible is full of this word. So it's like having your heart changed and your mind changed to bring you closer to God. A lot of illustrations say it's about a turning around. So we're going to turn away from the life we were living and go towards God. So maybe there's things wrong in our past and our lives, and we know we need God's forgiveness, so we turn this way and go to God. Hopefully that helps. We have to kind of remember that, yes, God wants a relationship with us, but God is a holy God. So therefore, that means he can't look on us or have a relationship with us if we do wrong things. We have to kind of just put that out there. We all do wrong things. We're all sinners. So that, you know. And so Jesus, this is what God's rescue plan was about, bringing Jesus to forgive us from all our sins. So what happens then? God can look on us because Jesus has come. He brings us forgiveness, brings us freedom, and life in all its fullness. For God, there is great rejoicing in heaven. His love for us is so boundless and endless. He would run to the ends of the earth to find you. What more can we do in exchange after all of that but give him our hearts? That's how I feel anyway. So what about the woman who lost her coin? Do you want to bring up just to remind us a bit about the story that I read in a child's rhyme version, but I quite like that kind of thing. So this may not have just appealed to the women listening, because he obviously said, suppose there is a woman. But when he says about something that was lost, maybe that would have appealed to all sorts of people. I don't know how frustrating or worrying you have found things when you've lost something. I know for me, I'm losing things all the time because I'm in a house now that has a new place. So where was the new place? So that my house is very confusing. I went to look for a bowl the other day and found a box of mince pies. just saying. So to me, I'm on a different level of lostness, okay? But it is frustrating. Oh, it is so frustrating. Yeah, we don't have a lamp and a broom. What do we have now? Mobile phones. Flick it onto your torch, yeah? And because of our houses, the way our houses are now, oh my goodness me, does it take hours? So you can't just go, I'll open a cupboard and look inside. You go, I'll open the cupboard and take the 100 things that are in there, and it might be in the back, or, oh, I've got to move the cabinet. Oh, well, we have stuff on it. We might have a hi-fi with all these wires that can't be moved, and you're yeah, different story. It takes time. It's frustrating and worrying. And I'm sure we can, yeah, you might be having little stories that might be coming to your head now. I'm going to ask Sam to bring up slide 13. There's a suggestion about some of the Bible commentaries, okay, that maybe, yes, this was monetary value, but it may also have been of highly personal value. I don't know if you've ever seen women with the veils and they have the coins going across. You may have seen that in pictures, and this is the best one I could find, sorry. But it's that it's usually of a wedding when people give coins, and they can actually be of great personal value. So I'll put it into your situation then. What about a wedding ring? What about a very precious piece of jewellery if you'd lost that? And actually, we're now not talking about something that's really important to live by, which is money, but we're now talking about maybe something really precious. So maybe we can understand more of the urgency. I'm actually starting to feel quite upset and hurt, not just frustrated and worried now, but actually hurt. And the focus, the search, would have been very deep. So that does make sense why she did get so excited at the end as well. So she is searching intensely. And, you know, there is so much rejoicing in heaven, it says, when repentance happens. That's exactly the same with this story. It comes straight back to the same meaning. And I think God would like to find everyone that is lost. But firstly, let's just have a look at what do we really understand by the word lost in this context. I think it means two things. I think it means for people who have never encountered God and didn't know what Jesus could do for them. I do believe it means that. But I also think it means for those who already know God but can have strayed away and become lost. So I think it's actually something for everybody. And Jesus was very aware of who he was talking to that day. We've talked about, I mean, the storybook I read was really good because it mentioned about the Pharisees. But I mentioned about the women and the shepherd and the sons and the fathers. But there were teachers of the law listening, and Jesus was aware of this. They wanted to follow the right path, but they hadn't seen who Jesus was. And they were really disappointed with him because they felt that he shouldn't have been spending time with the people. They had bad reputations as far as they were concerned. And if I can ask Sam to bring up slide 14. In the Message Bible, it says this at the beginning of that chapter. By this time, a lot of men and women of questionable reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased. They were not pleased at all. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered these three stories, so the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Jesus was saying, "You are lost," even though they believed in God. So I don't know whether you can bring to mind any time that maybe for those of you who are Christians here and have maybe journeyed with God a long time, you can remember times in your life where actually you have been lost. Now, sometimes it's just a moment in time. It's a small moment and you go, I'm off the path. Whoops, back on. Or you may have a bigger section. I'm going to share about that with myself because I want everybody to understand it just happens in very simple normal ways. And things can take us very carefully. Do you remember Nathan coming to talk about faith and faith drift? And actually, as you go out into the water at the seaside and you look back to where you were, you've come, you've moved. And these things happen gently. Mine's very simple. I moved from my old church to this church. That was it. And I started to get lost. Why? I don't think I was consciously aware, particularly. My old church knew I was transitioning here, and I still went there occasionally. And this church, all I knew was Steve and his parents. And they thought I was just coming along, maybe not committing. So I started to get lost between two churches because people thought, they didn't see me. Oh, she's at the other one. She's starting to go there. Or, oh, she now goes there. And I started to just edge away. Yeah, there were reasons. And I probably think the excuses, didn't have a car, so I had to organise a lift. What's it like coming in through those two doors only knowing three people in the room? Can I be bothered with that this morning? I don't know. Did Steve say they were having a day out and there'll be nobody there I know this morning? Yeah, did those add to it? They do. But in those times, I started to drift. I started dating a guy at work. Nothing wrong with that, I suppose. Nothing wrong with that. Nice guy, you know. Eventually, he wasn't interested in church, so actually, yeah, let's go and do that today. Let's go and do that. And even though, in one sense, some of those things are not on their own wrong or together, I started to drift. I started to stray. I didn't listen to the word on a Sunday morning. I didn't have friends around me anymore to sort of remind me and encourage me or say, is that, are you sure where you are is healthy at the moment? You know, God seeks us out and will find us. And you're not here this morning, but there's one card and I've kept it. And you know, I couldn't even tell you what it says inside, but Fiona sent me a card. It's got crocuses on the front, purple crocuses. I can see it now and I've got it somewhere at home. And I said, I can't tell you what she said because everything is lost in my house. But I do have it somewhere. And the words in there triggered God to speak straight to my heart, and God put out this thing in front of me and said, if you carry on like this, it's not necessarily wrong, but this is what your future will look like. And I went, no, and went, okay. And that, interesting, that Sunday, Keith, you probably remember this, came up to me and said, I can see you enjoy singing, and you know, would you like to join the worship team? And God said, in order for you to stand up the front and encourage people into worship, you need to change this relationship. And that was it. He brought me home. So it wasn't, I didn't do anything wrong. I just drifted gently. Some of these things, I don't know if you've been in those situations, you know, and we think about those dear old sheep. What they do is they say, oh, the grass looks nice over there. I wonder if I can get out over there. And they're just, they haven't done anything wrong. They're just wandering off. But then all of a sudden they're in a ditch and they're lost and things like that. We talk about big things. We shouldn't be too scared, really. We think about, I don't know, gambling, drinking, sex. I mean, because they're big things. They don't start big at all. They don't necessarily set out to ruin our lives. We enter into it, I don't know, somebody could say, oh, come along to the bingo, it's great. It is great. It's a good laugh. Nothing wrong with a bit of bingo. But all of a sudden said, oh, have you tried that on your app? Then you go out drinking with some of your friends and they're all doing the app together. And all of a sudden you think, actually, I think I might keep doing this. This is quite, yeah, this is, do you know, I've won quite a bit. And all of a sudden we start to get lost. We're listening to different voices. And then it's a problem. Some things start really, really admirably. And there's nothing about those sort of areas. Do you know what? Maybe you can't make ends meet and you need to earn some money and you've been offered extra shifts or something at work. So you take those extra shifts. All good. Thinking, actually, now I'm making ends meet, but they've offered me a bit more. Actually, it would be good to have a bit of savings, wouldn't it? And all of a sudden, your work life is so big that actually you don't see your family anymore. You become unwell, maybe, because you're tired, you're burnt out. All of a sudden, you become lost. It's very simple. And I hope that sort of helps give you an understanding. of what it's like. And then Jesus does want to put us on his shoulders, because he will look after you. He will show you the way back and take us home. So I just want to look at them. Why is it that not everyone has a relationship with Jesus? And why is it that some of us, maybe as Christians, never get rescued from our traps? Do you remember Steve brought that verse and said about, because we don't have the ears to hear and we don't have the eyes to see. You have to have that moment where you will listen to God. We get really busy. We get busy in our lives. We don't anymore then recognize God might be going, oi, hello, you know, and shaking your shoulder, you know, like we have to when we do our CPR thing and we check it, you know, and you start just doing it gently and then you get more aggressive. God is doing that, but whether you hear it or sense it is another thing. If you've taken out the Christian habits that you put in, like going to maybe a prayer service, going to Sunday morning worship, if you stop doing those things, spiritually your life does start to change. Maybe there's been really good friends that will encourage you in your walk with God. But actually they're saying things that are making you feel a bit uncomfortable at the moment. So you start just withdraw away from that. I don't really want to hear that right now. And actually God was trying to talk to you through them. It's those things where we start to become distant from God. You know, to those who Jesus addressed hadn't realized that they could be rescued. The other group of people, that they were even special to God. There was the good news of Jesus, that he could save them from being separated from God when they die. The Bible calls this hell. To be free from anything they'd ever thought or done that was wrong and to be forgiven. That is amazing news for everyone. And to me, well, there was no wonder there was a party at the end of each of those stories. In each one, each three, there was a celebration. There was rejoicing. Jesus wanted to spend time with and receive sinners. And I'm so glad. Otherwise, I would stay hopelessly lost. I don't know about you. I'm so glad. You know, we shouldn't miss out on this celebration that God has got for us. So whether we're deciding to give our life to Jesus for the first time, or whether we feel we've strayed or we've lost or we've drifted, whatever your word is, and maybe we're trapped somewhere in that ditch or we got caught in brambles, this message is for you. It's for me. And you know, if you think, actually, it doesn't apply to me today, I'm all good. I've been there. I'm a Christian for 30 years, born again. Yeah, I'm in everything. Don't feel lost. You never know when a situation will come up where there's a drift that starts to happen. And we always need to be aware. Each story talks of the joy in heaven and rejoicing over the one. And you are that precious to God that he would seek you out. He will rescue you, but we need to listen and recognize his voice. I'm going to let you listen to a testimony by a guy called Ben Fuller. Sorry for those who don't like country music. He is a songwriter and musician, and it's his testimony how God found him. And then we're going to listen to his song. It's a 3-minute testimony, so it's not long.
Home was a small town called Perkinsville, Vermont. I was a troubled kid inside. I hit a lot of things. I didn't have a lot of people to open up to. I was always somebody that everybody loved and everybody liked, and I was a popular kid in school and dated beautiful girls, and I was, you know, on the outside it all looked good, a captain of the football team, all those things, but on the inside I was a giant wreck. My father and I had a tough relationship, and he just, and only in the sense that he just had a hard time relaying love, I think. And so I had a hard time receiving that. And I would take those things and internalize them. So at a young age, you know, 18, 19 years old, I had found out about cocaine. So I went on a giant 15-year using bend. I didn't grow up in church. my family, we went to church for funerals and weddings. I learned to play guitar in college, and that was kind of became an outlet for me. I moved out here in the fall of 2018 and for country music, and I was drinking heavily, out of control, drinking and driving a lot, still using, still taking advantage of women, and just it all just led up to so many different things. And I had a family, believe it or not, God had sent a family from Vermont a year and a half ahead of me to be down here to earn my trust, to then invite me to church in the fall, winter of 2019. And I walked in to Church of the City in Franklin, Tennessee here. I'll never forget Chris McClarney, John Reddick were leading worship. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. And I had all I could do to not fall on my knees. I have a song called Other Plans, which isn't released yet, but I hope to. And it talks about my brush with suicide when I was 16 years old. And I'd been in some of those lowest, darkest places. And he allowed me to open up and finally share with everybody about all those things that I'd finally that had been burdening me for so many years.
Old man's laying on the ocean floor. There's a new man standing on redemption shore. I've been revived, oh, I've been restored, and I can't go back no more.
I lost my best friend in 2017 to a heroin overdose, and it was one of the hardest things to get over and one of the hardest things to cope with, to know that it could have been me. And he laid it on my heart that it's my job to tell his story and mine, and just let people know that there is hope, that there's always hope, and it's in Jesus. And I never thought in a million years I would say that out loud.
Inside a powder till it put me on the floor. I got so close to overdosing, I knocked on heaven's door. I knew I was searching for something, but I didn't know what. I spent so much time just trying to find out exactly what it was. I didn't find my way back home alone. I didn't change. He found me.
I like country music, so it did appeal to me. But hopefully you got the essence of the message there and his testimony. Do you know, it says in Romans 3, verses 9 to 12, it talks about nobody being righteous. And I think sometimes it's good just to kind of put that leveler out there. So it says, what should we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. Meaning, everybody was saying, so again, the Jesus' audience. I'm sorry, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, well astute people, and what they felt with the riffraff, I'm afraid they were all sinners. They were all the same, and it's the same for us. It says there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, and there is no one who seeks God. There's that message again about he is the one that seeks us. All have turned away. They've become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. It means everyone is a sinner. Everyone is lost. And it is about God's grace and abounding love for mankind to rescue and restore us. The only way to everlasting life and forgiveness is through Jesus.